Shifting gears now, we're going to be joined by Mark Allen and Jeff Ritzman to talk about this strange photograph we've posted on the Coast to Coast website. Odd image, odd looking craft, if you want to call it that. Maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit, but an odd something or other, photographed by a professional photographer off the coast of Crete. How it came to be, how it got to Mark Allen, and what it might be is the topic of the next hour. Hope you'll stay with us. I know a lot of you are already speculating what it is or is not. We'll get into that. We'll give you a chance to ask some questions about it in this coming hour. Stay with us. Much more to come on Coast to Coast AM. Mark Allen is a good friend of this program. He's one of the three owners of AboveTopSecret.com, which is the number one alternative topic discussion site on the World Wide Web. And Mark has been interested in conspiracy theories, UFO topics, things of that sort for more than 20 years, in particular focusing on disinformation, attempts to distort the larger picture. Jeff Ritzman has been actively involved in UFO research for over 25 years, is now a full-time digital imaging professional. He analyzes UFO photos and video pretty much every day, specializing in 3D digital modeling, and he knows a heck of a lot about how to manipulate analog photos. Guys, good to have you on the program.
Hey, George.
Hey, George. Always a pleasure. How are you?
Okay. Let's, Mark, start with you. Tell me about this image, how it came to your into your possession, and what your initial impression was.
Well, as you can imagine, being one of the owners of AboveTopSecret.com, we get lots and lots of, you know, UFO images and videos sent to the site, posted up on the site. But we also have a button on the site, and you know, it's labeled Contact ATS, Contact Above Top Secret. And when somebody clicks on that, it sends an email directly to myself and my two business partners, the owners of AboveTopSecret.com. So when someone sends an image or even a video that way versus posting it up on the site, it gets a little bit more credence in my mind because they're obviously not trying to get the big attention from posting it up on a big site. You know, so in other words, they're not trying to get as much publicity for it as they can in the hope of a payday.
They're looking for answers more than attention.
Exactly. And that's how, you know, this image came to me. It was straight through an email, straight from the photographer. And after a series of email exchanges with her, I felt she was credible. Felt she was forthright. But more importantly, this is the first image that I've had sent to me in years that I, with my untrained eyes and mind, couldn't look at and go, okay, it's a lonely light in this dark sky. It's a bug. It's a bird. It's a plane. I looked at this and I went, I don't know what it is. And, you know, I couldn't solve it instantly and satisfactorily for myself. So as I and want to do, I forwarded it to Jeff Ritzman and a couple other people and said, guys, here's one that I think might be interesting. What do you think? And from there, it just kind of took off. And
before we talk to Jeff about his analysis, describe the circumstances of how the photographer snapped this shot, what she was doing out there, why you find her to be credible.
Excellent. She's a professional photographer of some note. In Europe, obviously, not so much here, I don't think. She was on holiday in Crete. You know, her and her husband, I think, were in a rental car, and they were driving up this beautiful dirt road that leads to this gorgeous remote beach on the northwestern point of Crete. And if you go to Google Earth and look at the island of Crete, and you look up the northwestern side of the island, you'll see there's a point there. And yeah, you have to go down this really rough dirt road that apparently lots of goats like to walk down and take in the view, I guess. So she was taking pictures of the goats and the dirt road and the beautiful scenery. Across the bay, there's, you know, mountains that are kind of hazed out. So it's just a beautiful scene. And she's taking pictures of the goats and the scenery with a relatively cheap camera. She's on vacation. And one of the images, actually the last image she took before she got, you know, before they got across the dirt road into the beach that they were heading for, was the image with the object in it. The next image she took was some 11 or 12 minutes later, and I'm sure Jeff will correct me if I'm wrong. some 11 or 12 minutes later, at the end of the dirt road, where they were standing on top of the hill, overlooking the beautiful beach and the bay and all that, and she indicated that they had to hike down. It was like a 15, 20-minute hike down this hill from the dirt road to get down to the beach. It's that remote. She gets down to the beach, and like any photographer would, she looks through the images she just captured on her camera, just in the viewer of the camera, and wow, what is that? And there you go.
Before we get to Jeff and his analysis, and I should point out, we have a link to the report that he's written, and it's very detailed. It seemed to me in reading the thing, Mark, that that there was a conflict, and that it sounded like at first that the photographer saw something in the sky and she tried to focus on it and got this one photo. And then at the end, it sounds like she said, I didn't see anything in the sky, and this thing just appeared after I saw the photo.
That is not what I was told or the information that I have at all. She from the beginning told me she never saw the thing. She was taking pictures of the goats and the scenery and noticed it after the fact.
Okay, I must have misread that. Let's go to Jeff then. Jeff, so Mark hands you this thing. What's your initial impression?
Well, that it was better than anything I'd seen in recent memory. First of all, because I hate to say this, but a lot of what gets put across my desk is usually misidentified things, like camera aberrations of one sort or another, or birds. Birds have taken a front seat in the misidentification stuff lately. And so I saw this, and I thought, well, this is interesting because it's certainly clear. It's not one of those blurry, indescript type things. And of course, the more you look at it, the better it seems to get. Immediately upon looking at this thing, you see what looks like a lopsided disc, I believe I called it in the report, or dome. And I found that somewhat interesting when I started to zoom into it a little bit and do some level adjustments here and there, not getting a whole lot of resolve out of that side of it at all until I drop it into what's called LAB color, which consists of a lightness channel, an A channel, and a B channel. And looking at the A channel and doing a simple level adjust in there, you find the data that says, yes, this in fact was a symmetrical dome in which I believe in one of the images in the report has an overlay on top of that area showing that this is a perfect dome. It is symmetrical. You go down each side of this thing, and you see that on each side there is an angle that is relatively straight, or I'll say is straight, and the angle is symmetrical on both sides. This is not something I can ascribe to a water droplet, nor a blowing object that would be randomly floating through the air. Some people have suggested Mylar balloons. Some people have suggested birds. And all I can say to those contentions is that I'm yet to see a symmetrical bird, in a shot like that or a blowing object like that. There's an amount of atmospheric hazing on this to me looking at it. And this is purely one of those subjective, I just looked at so many, so I kind of get a feel for atmospheric density just being a visual designer, that looking at the rest of the photograph, it seems consistent to me of something that's some distance away and of some substantial size at that point. And so, from there, you just start looking for what could this possibly be? And I hate to put it this way, but at least when it comes to the UFO field and in looking at photographs that come across your desk, you're looking for something that's not identifiable. And so ultimately, your success is the failure to be able to explain it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I can't readily explain this at all. And I have had direct contact with the shooter, and she seems as genuinely curious to me as anyone else would be in a very candid situation. Unlike most people who have fabricated something, she's provided me everything that I have asked for in short order.
Directly from her camera, right?
That's correct, sir. And in very short order. I'm talking within a matter of minutes. She was providing me everything that I needed. That's very unusual. I would say in any case that you would get someone that cooperative, that open, and that forthright in explaining, you know, what she shot, here's what I've got, here's the entire dump of my chip from those series of shots. It only appears in one frame. And I find that especially curious. I find it especially curious that no one would see this, which indicates to me that it's slightly strange of the quote unquote paranormal variety. It just seems like, boy, if that were really there for any length of time, it certainly would have been seen by the two people in the car. So in the end, I don't have a good answer for you.
Was her window rolled up or down?
It was rolled down.
Yeah. So it's not a reflection from the window.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in, George, if I could.
Sure.
Just to add to the gravitas of the honesty of the shooter, I've got a friend who's really pretty high up in the state-level law enforcement world who has some software that the public simply doesn't get access to, who ran this image through this high-level law enforcement software. Takes about 4 to 6 hours to render a 2 megabyte picture, 1.6 megabyte picture. And he's told me that he could now testify in a criminal case. Thank God there's not one associated with this picture, but if there was, that he could testify in court that this image has absolutely not been altered by any software editing program suite, period. Mm-hmm. So that really adds to it in my mind. And you know, it gives weight to what Jeff's talking about how honest and forthright she's been and quick to respond to us.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is digital. It seems like everything online these days is digital enhancement or digital manipulation of some sort. And I know a couple of our listeners have already written in saying, aha, I looked at it real closely, and it looks like there are pixels around the edges, and it's clearly manipulated.
Yeah,
Jeff?
Well,
yeah.
When you're talking about a JPG image, it all depends on what kind of compression you're talking about. And I think certainly anytime, I mean, here's the first, I think, rule of thumb. Don't do quote-unquote analysis on images from the Internet because they're greatly compressed for speed and ease of download. Even when you're talking about a JPG image that's coming directly out of a camera, there's still compression involved in some sort. And anytime you get that, and people like to zoom in on things, people like to do Mondo enlargements in Photoshop and whatnot, you're going to see pixel edges just by virtue of what the image actually is, that it is a digital image that does have some kind of compression run on it, irregardless of what kind of data you're getting. And so that makes it tough. I should point out one other thing that I didn't mention earlier in conversations with her, the shooter. One of the first questions that she posed to me was, how do you know I didn't create this in Photoshop?
Yeah.
That's not something I've ever had anyone ask me, who I have then ended up catching in a hoax photograph. And I've got a decent track record. I'm not perfect by any stretch, but I got a decent track record in catching these folks who try to pull these things over on us all. And I've never had one of them say, how do you know I didn't fake this in Photoshop?
So if somebody is looking at the image on the Coast to Coast site, the one we've posted, it's been, you know, sent to you, then sent to us, then posted there. If they're seeing some sort of pixelization, is that because it's been transferred a couple of times, or if they're really seeing that?
You guys have a much smaller image up on your site, and I've looked at it, than the complete file. If your listeners want to, they can go to AboveTopSecret.com. Thank you very much, and see the full image in its full file form. Well, I'm sorry, it's not quite the full file form, but it's really close. But anybody who's really interested and really does want to see the full file, if they will email me, I'm happy to send them the full file straight off the camera. As uncompressed as it can be, but it's as close as we can get. Am I right, Jeff?
Yeah, well, I would say the direct files that were sent to us completely, I mean, literally still named in their original file names from the camera. Those have not been opened in anything of any kind of, they've not been compressed. They've not been opened in Photoshop. They're literally dropped off the camera chip and onto a zip file for us. So
this thing is not, it could not be a thrown object, some kind of a see-through big fat Frisbee that somebody zipped mm-hmm. across that island there and got into her photo?
Well, I would say no to that. Not only for the symmetrical things alone. I mean, a thrown object, or even as been mentioned before, a Mylar balloon, that type of thing. I would think something that is relatively small would be relatively close, and therefore would not have the atmospheric hazing that this thing is displaying to me. So, in my opinion, I'm looking at it. I'm saying, well, it's of some size. I mean, we're talking about a fairly decent. I mean, in terms of what's the absolute width of the picture as opposed to what would be the absolute width of the unknown object in it. You're talking about an image that is, I believe, 1280. And so this pixel across, I believe, is 88 pixels across for this object. I don't have the report in front of me, but it's of some size. And so at that point, you ask yourself, a thrown object, if it's going to be that, you know, that size, it's going to be that close, you're going to get some sort of motion out of it. You're going to see some sort of inappropriate effect that doesn't say it's standing still or doesn't indicate movement at all. And I don't see movement in this at all.
Jeff, how many images might cross your desk in, say, a week or 2 weeks? And how many of those would you say you rule out pretty easily?
I would say in a week, well, it varies so greatly. I mean, there are times where it ebb and flows. There's been weeks where I've literally got as many as 10 to 15 in a week. I think that's probably the most I ever got, to which most of them are the common thing of pollen, you know, the dandelion pollination pods, that sort of thing that you see. People have a odd habit of aiming into the sun and getting very strange reflections out of their camera with that lens flares and so on. You get a lot of that kind of stuff, and occasionally you get the one that's just too incredulous to believe. And I actually enjoy those because I like to figure out how inventive people are actually getting, you know, which I'm sure we can get to at some point. But I would say, I'll put it to you this way, over the course of years, I have probably seen thousands of images and a whole lot of video. And what I could say about this particular shot for me, at least at present time, and I'll stress at present time because an unknown doesn't mean it can't ever be solved, I would say this is probably one of four in my entire involvement in this that I think is really interesting. So, you know, you can do the math there from how many would you get in a week if you've gotten four in 25 plus years.
Well, I think it's significant in that it for both of you that, you know, you see a lot of images almost every day, certainly every week, and you weed them out and you don't waste any time in weeding them out. And it does you no good to go ahead and post something that is fraudulent or a misidentification. That does nobody any good, certainly not the topic. We'll continue our conversation with Mark and Jeff. I want to get into a little bit of discussion about who might be responsible and why people try to hoax this stuff, how often obvious hoaxes pop up, and then we'll open up the phone lines with your questions. If you want to challenge these guys and their findings, we want to hear from you. So stay with us, everyone. More Coast to Coast AM coming. We're talking with Mark Allen and Jeff Ritzman from AboveTopSecret.com about this strange photograph that we posted on the Coast to Coast website. I know a lot of you have your own ideas about what it might be out there. We'll hear a little bit more from Mark and Jeff and then go to the phone lines with your questions and comments right after this on Coast to Coast AM. One of our listeners says the thing looks like an AMC pacer that flies. Somebody else said it's a hologram. Jeff, what about the idea of a hologram? Can you measure a hologram? I mean, would you, if somebody posted that out there, a hologram out in the middle of the blue sky, Would it show
Yeah,
up on a photograph like this?
that'd
And
be a
would it?
little difficult, wouldn't it? I mean, to my knowledge, unless there's some kind of medium to support light as a free floating object, that would be pretty tough to do. As far as I know, we don't know how to stop light from traveling, unless you've got some kind of thing like a scrim, like they might use in a theater production. You can certainly do it with that and see through it, but I don't think anything like that's going on here.
Black technology, what?
Well, black project technology, Jeff. Who knows what we have?
Well, yeah, that's a big point to make here is that, when you're looking at images like this and you do come across these few, and I should point out, remarks earlier, when it came to only finding four in the time that I've been involved, that's been me personally. I've seen a lot of really good stuff out there that's been submitted to other people. So that's not to say that in all of UFO research do I think there's only four good pieces. There's a lot more.
But Mark, there's a heck of a lot, as you've noted. There's a heck of a lot more stuff that is bogus, and it's purposely bogus. It's hoaxed. How much of that do you think is just people being smart, Alex, trying to fool people, and then ha ha, I fooled you? And how much of it might be something more sinister?
Well, I'll tell you, years ago, I would have thought that the vast majority of it was the tricksters, the guys just wanting to troll people online and show all their friends, look, I got these guys in this crazy website. They're all freaking out thinking this is, a spaceship, and I whipped it up in Photoshop in 15 minutes. Isn't that great? Yuck, yuck, yuck. The problem is YouTube opened up its massive channel and massive website to people who, if they attain a certain amount of views, now participate in the revenue share that YouTube generates through the ads. So if you're, relatively competent, you can create a totally hoax video that not only fools people on the internet, but we've seen them fool CNN, Fox News, you name it, LA Times, everybody. Well, today, if you're good at that, and then not necessarily technically good, but just good enough and you're a pretty good marketer, you can make thousands of dollars a month doing that. Images, not so much. Videos, yes. And I also do believe that there has been a program, and we won't go into all that now. This is really a topic for another show, but, through my research, I know that there has been an effort by certain elements of the intelligence community to create the, humiliation factor behind ufology. There's no question about it. So I have to think a certain percentage of the images that come out might be sinister and disinformation for reasons that, we're never going to know in our lifetime. But
maybe to have researchers go chase it and spend months or years trying to figure it out, or to put something out there, ufologists make a big deal out of it, and then you pull the rug out from under them and embarrass them and further diminish whatever limited credibility they had to begin with.
Yeah, I think that, but I also think it's really looking for the connectivity from a pure intelligence ops perspective. Who's talking to who? Where does this information, where does it go from point A? Here, we put it out here on this site under an assumed nom de plume, and who picks it up and who shares it with who? I think there's some legitimate security concerns being monitored in that, but I also agree with what you just said. Yes, let's make a mockery of it because, I don't know why. I don't know the because, but I'm sure they have their reasons.
Jeff, one other question for you before we go to the phone lines, and it's about some images that are also, I think we have it posted on our website. It was Google, the street camera, have captured these two images, one in Texas, one in New Mexico. Looks like it shows the same thing, a pinkish flying saucer-shaped object seen in the sky. Do you know what the images I'm talking about?
I do. I haven't looked at them at any great length. I'll be honest with you, the first time that I came across those, my initial thought was, you know, it's completely across the shot from the sun. And that usually says to me that this is nothing more than a lens flare. But I have to admit, I have not looked at those at any great length.
Yeah, it's kind of the impression I had as well. Callers, west of the Rockies, Gary in San Bernardino. Gary, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to relate a UFO story to you. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were on a Jeep trip. We were heading east out of the Owens Valley on Highway 168, heading toward Tonopah, Nevada. And we decided to take this one Jeep trail that led up to the mountains, and it ended up at a really old mining site. But anyway, we decided to spend the night there. And we set our camp up and got everything situated for the evening. And I'd say probably about maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock at night in the moonless sky, we're both kind of just gazing up. And about the altitude I'd estimate of a satellite, you can see satellites go by. And we see these two very peculiar flashes of light. And they were very, very bright, almost bluish. They were so bright white, and there was a focal point of each flash, and each flash was about maybe a second apart from the other one, and extending from the central point of the flash were these spark-like fingers that were straight. So we see these two flashes, and as far as size, if you were to hold maybe a dime up, length of your hand, that about the diameter of it, but we see these two flashes, and then right after the second flash, this spherical orb appeared at the same altitude, and it remained stationary for maybe a second or two, and then headed off to the east in the direction of possibly the Area 51 area or the Tonopah test range. And we both, I said to her, I said, "Did you see what I saw?" And then she relayed the story back to me to make sure we saw the same thing. But, you know, I'm a private pilot. I sheriff's department for 30 years, and what I saw was definitely something that wasn't, you know, anything that I can imagine. Anyway, that's my story.
Gary, I appreciate you sharing the story with us. There are certainly a lot of weird things flying in the sky out there. As you mentioned, Tonopah Test Range, Area 52 is not far to the east of where you were, and then further to the east from there is Area 51, of course. Guys, I'll let you comment if you want about, it's not exactly about the photo we're talking about, but if you want to comment on Gary's story, please do.
Well, I'd like to personally invite Gary to come to AboveTopSecret.com and put that up there. Do you have any documentation of it other than your eyeballs? I'm assuming you got no pictures or...
I think Gary's already gone, Mark, but maybe he can send us a note and we'll put you in contact with him.
And you know, if I may, I would also like to invite the listeners to jump on our thread on AboveTopSecret.com and add their, you know, their perspective. If they don't get on the show and call in tonight, feel free to please, you know, add your perspective to the thread on the site. We are doing this because we want to see if somebody else may have seen something like this. You may have seen something we missed in the analysis. So please do.
Yeah, you're not sold on it being from the planet Krypton or something. You're just trying to figure out the answer, right?
Yeah, I mean, where we're at right now is we don't know what it is. We're pretty sure what it's not, but where does that leave you, right?
Okay, all right. Steven in Ohio on the wild card line. Hi, Steven.
Oh.
Hi.
Yes, I had a buddy in the Air Force, and he was supposed to tell me like pictures like you all's that they're from deep in the ocean and the abyss. I was wondering if you guys have any ideas about that.
This thing maybe coming in or out of the ocean.
Yes.
Well, Mark?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, you're talking about a majority of sightings around water. I would say, I mean, over the years, we've heard that on different documentaries, and we've seen that that data on the net and in different books by several different authors, that there's a lot of sightings around water and power lines. Mm-hmm. And what does that indicate? We really don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of suppositions you can make about that. Are they siphoning water? Are they siphoning power off the grid? That sort of thing. That's all pure speculation. But I think the interesting part about that to me is when you look at, and I purposely, for the most part, stay away from any kind of government conspiracy connections to this stuff. The interesting thing that you find when you look at documents about UFOs is that it's usually Department of Naval Intelligence, which I find interesting in that regard.
Thank you, Stephen. Right. Appreciate it. First-time caller, Jesse in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
I wanted to pose a question to them. What is the possibility of it being like a translucent grocery bag that flew down from the atmosphere or blew up from the ground or the water?
Well, again, I'd have to point to looking at the consistencies in the shape. I mean, you're talking about something that's got symmetry. You're talking about something that's got consistent edges on left side and right side, perfect dome. You know, when you're talking about something like a bag or even a Mylar balloon, for that matter, that's like partially deflated, which you could expect to see on any given day anywhere in the world. The idea to have those things have any kind of symmetry at all, they're usually an amorphous blob, or they're usually in a, you know, with your grocery bag, you'll have a point and you'll have a big open area. And we don't see that with this. So I don't find that to be completely or entirely possible. It doesn't seem at all possible to me to look at that and say, with the symmetry that we have, that we've got something that's blowing in the wind that's kind of that amorphous blob.
Yeah, and I'd like to throw in, having crossed the Pacific Ocean four times, an ex-Coast Guardsman myself and a big-time boater sailor, that the wind is definitely blowing, you know, the day of that shot. I mean, if you look at the Whitecaps in that pretty protected bay, you've got at least, our best estimates are at least a 20-mile-an-hour wind. So if that was something as small and light as a grocery bag, I think it would be pretty flattened out and booking it. It would have some serious motion blur, wouldn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, I would sure think so. And you're talking about, I mean, again, the shooter had indicated to us that it was extremely blustery that day. And I think if you go to Google Earth and you look at the area of Crete that we're talking about, you're talking about a very remote place. You don't see a lot of houses in this area, especially around where this was taken. It's all down towards the lower half of the island that you're talking about. This large arc of land that they're on is very remote. I would have a hard time figuring out, like, where would even a bag come from in that area? You would think immediately these things would get blown out to sea.
Are you still there?
Yes.
I just wanted to interject. I have property on an island down in the Keys. It's called Cook Island. It's a private island. You can only get out there by boat. And we see trash all the time come blowing up. You know, just it comes through the, I guess, from that current from the Atlantic into the Gulf of Mexico. That's the reason I asked the question.
Oh, sure.
You know, we see creases on the bags, and I figured maybe refraction from light from the creases could maybe be why you're seeing some of those angles.
Hey, Jesse, good point. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just think, again, the symmetry for me is what kind of kills that idea.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Are there other sightings from natives and the folks who live in the area? Anybody seeing weird stuff in the sky at around the same time period?
There has been a dust-up in Greece, but, you know, I really haven't had the time to do the research leading up to it, you know, prior to the date of this shot. But since the date of this shot, there's been several, you know, videos and images put up. None of them really look like this, but yeah, I mean, that's something I thought about after we got it, and I went out and did some research on it, and we actually had three or four of them put up on AboveTopSecret.com shortly thereafter. So is it connected? I don't know. I'm going to dig into that this week, but there has been some activity on Greece.
I think it'd be interesting to see if people take your image and then start creating hoaxed images of the same kind of thing elsewhere in the same area.
Undoubtedly.
East of the Rockies, Steve in Maryland. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a kind of a weird question. I haven't seen the picture as I'm driving home from work, And I noticed one time when I was at work that somebody was using a TV remote that our little camera, I work as an ER nurse, and we have this video camera to keep an eye out on the waiting room, making sure patients don't fall off, pass out on us or anything. And I noticed somebody was using a remote, and I saw the light on the remote on the video camera, which was digital. The when I got home, I used my own remote and ended up my cell phone camera, and lo and behold, I saw the light. I was just curious if anybody's ever thought that obviously if you've got these crafts, they're able to travel literally trillions of miles through space, that they have cloaking technology. Would it not be reasonable to think that they just change wavelength outside of the normal view, our normal ability to view them, and maybe it's just showing up on the digital images?
Steve, that's a good point. I guess we'd have to speculate to answer that, but what the heck?
Yeah, I never actually heard that being said on.
Let's let Mark and Jeff take a whack at it. Mark, you want to take a stab?
Yeah, what you're talking about there, if I'm not mistaken, is infrared. I mean, most remote controls work off infrared. There's tons of speculation and theories in the ufology field if you can beat the speed of light, you probably know how to cloak yourself. There's also theories of interdimensional travel and beings that may or blink into our reality for a split second and blink out. But I'd like Jeff to take the technical part of the question.
It's a tough speculation because we don't know really what we're looking at. I mean, there's plenty of theories in ufology about what all this could be, but in the end, we really don't know what this stuff is. There is one thing I want to point out specifically to this kind of thing. The interesting part to me about this whole shot is looking at the horizon line, which if you take a look, that horizon, clearly a candid shot, clearly leaning out to take pictures of the wild goats beside the vehicle. And you've got an uneven, unlevel horizon, which is not unusual. But what is unusual is that when you drag down a rule, say in Photoshop, and I invite everybody to try this out, zoom in on the disk, pull your rules down in Photoshop, which, by the way, come down completely parallel in the frame. In other words, they are perfectly parallel to top and bottom and left and right, depending on which side that you drag them from. If you drag the disk and onto the points on each side, you will find that it is level. You will find that, of course, the camera in the mirror that you can clearly see is, of course, level. The horizon is not, which means the interesting part and the high weirdness part of this shot comes through, to me at least. My guesstimation or my little pontification part in this would be, did it align itself to her camera?
Okay. I'm sorry, Mark Allen, Jeff Ritzman, fascinating conversation about this photo. If you've got ideas, you're welcome to check it out on our website and then also log into Above Top Secret and offer your comments. Guys, thanks for being with me. Coming up next, distressing near-death experiences. The book is called Dancing Past the Dark. Nancy Evans Bush is the author. Fascinating book. Tim Buck III takes us into